Welcome to the Sermon Coach Podcast. My name is Dean Wilson, and I'm sitting here with Dr. David Maines. We're going to talk about various aspects of helping pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. So, David, good to see you today.
Thank you, Dean.
Going to basically be asking a series of questions and asking you to respond to them and share with the pastors some of the things you've learned over your many years of ministry. First question I have for you today, David, is I've heard you talk about the sermon-sucking black hole for some years now. I wonder if you could explain it to someone who's not familiar with that term.
Oh, boy, I haven't tried to do that for a while. I'm trying to think back as to when that phrase first came to me. I think it came from a pastor I was speaking to. And he said to me, there seems to be a black hole between the pulpit and the parking lot, because people say to me at the door, that was a good sermon, but by the time they get to the car, they can't remember anything I said. So there's got to be a black hole out there that sucks up what I'm saying. And I just kind of saw that as a picture that was very graphic, and I began to use it. And people began to resonate because they understand exactly what you're talking about. Somehow what they listen to intently during the morning, by the time they get to the car and start home, the people don't remember what was said.
So it's sort of like it just disappears, as you say, into this big black hole.
Poof, it's gone.
So how big a problem is this?
My personal feeling is it's a huge problem, Dean. In fact, I began to almost as a routine, I would ask people that I would see during the week, what did your pastor preach on Sunday? And they would say to me, oh, it was a very good sermon. He preached on, let's see, it was very good. I enjoyed it very much. I can't remember right now what he preached on. And I think if I would give them $100, if they could just tell me what the man preached on, that would be wonderful. But it just blanks. And I began to realize this is a huge, huge problem.
How do pastors respond when you talk to them about this sermon-sucking black hole?
I've done, I don't know how many hundreds of seminars, and I've brought this up, and they all enjoy it very much, and they laugh, and they identify, but they all think I'm talking about the other guy, so nobody thinks I'm talking about them. And when it comes to the place where I'm saying, you know, percentage-wise here, I'm talking probably about most of you and your people. At that point, it gets a little bit quiet. But at the same time, there's enough honesty among pastors that they know this is a problem, and I'm not sure exactly what to do about it. And if you can help me, I'm open to hearing what you have to say.
Well, that sounds fair. I guess you can certainly understand that most pastors would have a great deal of buy-in to something that they work on pretty significantly through every week of their ministry, and then to realize that they're not connecting with their people in a way that would help them remember it.
That's... You know, Dean, I had one pastor say to me, you know, if you asked me, say you saw me at the post office on Tuesday morning what I preached on Sunday, I probably couldn't remember either. So I decided to test that out, and I would ask pastors, what did you preach on this last Sunday? And I quit asking them because I would get a 30-minute sermon. They remember very well what they preached on. So it's not really a problem of the pastorate. They know what they preached on, but their people don't remember what they preached on.
That's a fascinating problem. Have you heard pastors preach in, as you've listened to sermons, that are exceptions to that rule?
Of course I have. Every time we talk, people have to understand that we're talking about generalities. The truth is, this is a massive problem throughout the country. Are there exceptions? Of course there are. In fact, there are sermons I heard, say, within the last month or the last year that still come back to me very clearly because it was an exceptional sermon. And the black hole didn't get that. It may have gotten it for somebody else, but it didn't get it for me. So, yes, of course there are exceptions. I again go back to say most ministers think I'm preaching the exception. The truth is they're not preaching the exceptions. They're preaching the ones that get into the black hole.
I suppose one way would be to start polling your congregation, but there would be some reluctance to do that because you might not like the results that you get back.
I'm sure that would be true, and yet we have to deal with reality. And this is the world we're living in, and if people are not hearing what is being said so that it's sticking with them, then we're going to have to make some changes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very hard, how hard will it be for a minister to change?
I guess I'd say it depends on the minister. But generally speaking, once again, I find, as I think back over the years as I've worked with various ministers, they are extremely reluctant to change. They are very open to everything that is being said until it comes to the place where they have to change what they are doing. And I find when they follow what I say, they get wonderful results. But to get people to change in even the smallest ways, when they've been taught to do something and they're in kind of a routine and they've always done it this way, it is very, very hard to get ministers to change. So I say if I go somewhere and I'm going to be there for 3 or 4 days, say to a denominational group of ministers, and there are, say, 30 ministers in that group, I would say if I could get 3 or 4 of them to change over a period of time and do what I'm telling them that I know will help them and will make life much easier for them, and their people will be able to retain what they are saying. If I can get 3 or 4, and when I leave, those given individuals are going to make significant changes and continue to do what I've told them to do, I feel very satisfied. Some people, I don't care what you do, you're not going to get them to change. They're just not going to do it.
It sounds to me that part of the problem is recognizing there is a problem to begin with. I would think if you came to the reality that you were in the midst of a problem, that would be some motivation to want to do something about it. If I'm not connecting with my people, if they're not remembering the message that I'm communicating with them, I'm preaching to try to help them deepen their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to motivate them or nudge them or move them in a direction of greater discipleship, and my message isn't penetrating and they're not retaining it, that's a pretty serious problem. I would think that should motivate pastors to want to do something. On the other hand, I suppose if you think that you're the exception to the rule, then it would be hard to get that motivation to change. I wonder, can we appeal to pastors to at least think about this and stay with us and try some of the things we're going to be talking about? Is that a possible inroad into this problem?
Oh, yes. People will like what I say. Whether they will do it is another question. But ministers have to come to the place where they're not just hearing what people say at the door or immediate response, but where they're actually fishing for, say, making a phone call on Tuesday. Do you remember what I talked on Sunday? And don't say, this is what I talked on, because the person will always say yes. But if you say, did you take any of the suggestions from Sunday and apply them to your life? And the person says, well, you know, I'm thinking about that. Tell me what you heard me say. You know, so you're fishing for who is retaining something from Sunday. Most of the time what people remember, they'll remember a joke. Sometimes they'll remember an illustration. But in terms of transformational living, how am I going to change after I heard that sermon so I'm a different person? For the most part, you're going to get a blank on that.
It's interesting that you say that, because on this past Sunday when I was in church, a couple sat behind me that don't normally sit there, and I had preached substituting because we didn't have a pastor for a few Sundays a couple of years ago. And this fellow leaned forward and said to me, I was thinking about you this week. I went through a speed trap. And he related back to me one of the illustrations that I'd used in the sermon. I was very tempted to want to ask him if after 2 years he remembered what I was really talking about. Mm-hmm. I doubt that he would have. But he did remember the illustration.
Which is wonderful that he remembered that. And probably the truth is, if you had pressed him, I wish you would have, to get a little bit more information from him. But the fact that he retained that was something special. And I clap. I'm applauding for you, Dean. I remember, if you recall what you were saying in the sermon.
Yeah, I actually do.
I don't want to hear the sermon, okay.
I won't preach it to you now, that's for sure. Say a group of 10 typical preachers are listening to us right now. How many of the 10 will be open to the instructions you can offer them?
I would like to be as optimistic as most people are and say all 10. I have no idea, but I'm thinking if we can get 2 or 3 of those who are listening. And if you're one of those listeners and you're one of those two or three good, you're going to find that this will be incredibly helpful to you, because I get those comments all the time. Where were you when I needed you, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago when I was struggling with how do I make my sermons more effective? So we're going to be on a good journey together. I'm looking forward to it.
And it's really never too late to change. I suppose if you're in the first year of your ministry, or if you're in the 31st year of your ministry, it's still possible to make changes that will improve the effectiveness of what you're doing. Where do we go next in our next podcast?
Well, we're going to get right down to the specifics. And we'll say, let me tell you the steps you need to take. And it'll be very practical.
Very good. We've been talking with Dr. David Maines. He is the director of sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. And we invite you to come to the website and see the resources we have available to you there. And we'll check in with you next time in our next podcast.